Tonight, the final five battle it out. Will Candy, Dina, Ricky, Tamar, or Lolo make it to the final two, and who will win it all? We find out who is America's favorite and crown the winner of our game. But first, welcome your hosts, Adam and Fatty. Well, hello, everyone. I'm not going to unmute Fatty quite yet. I'm just going to say, I'm Adam, by the way. And I'm always told that my audio is so good. I just want to say, before everyone starts hounding me, I'm listening to this show that's like a reality competition for podcasts. And they're like, they have these teams. The show itself has horrible editing and horrible audio quality. How do you have a show rating? Anyway, welcome, Fatty. Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to plug my own audio. So there.
Oh.
Anyway, hi, Fatty.
Hi.
So tonight.
Well, here we are. Here we are, what, 10 days after the damn show ended?
Well.
And, well, here we go.
We couldn't all get in the same room.
But because first, we waited 10 days, everybody's here.
We have a full cast of characters this evening.
We have Waldo.
Hi.
We have Alex. Chris.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
Beer. He's having a beer.
And we have Faye, who's having
Some sort of bitters. Pomegranate.
I'm having
Faye's too fancy for me.
Yeah.
I'm having my normal diet Mountain Dew. So.
You're such a fucking frat boy.
I've never been a frat boy in my entire life. So, but I do drink the diet Mountain Dew.
That's Chris. He's never been a frat boy because if he were a frat boy, he would not like himself because he'd be one of the bros.
That's exactly right. So
now,
my personal story.
This was the final performance of Jesus Christe Superstar.
I want to tell our lovely audience that I attempted to tell this story before I started recording, and no one would have any of it. They're like, no. Save. We love your personal stories. We want them on the recording.
Well, said that if we have to hear it, everybody else has to suffer too.
Right.
How dare you? How dare you? Anyway, there wasn't much of a story, but I wanted to get Alex's professional opinion as well. Oh. So it was the last performance. And this has never happened that I know of, but three or four of the main cast members during their pivotal moments, they are supposed to be teary and like emotional, and they literally were bawling for real. Like, you know, like Mary comes, she sings her solo about loving Jesus, and she's got like these real tears streaming down her face.
Everything's all right.
You know,
yes, everything's fine.
Jesus is doing his solo where he's rethinking. He doesn't want to die. You know, he doesn't want to die on the cross, and he's.
I'm giving you a little background music.
And he's bawling. And then they have their curtain call. And the guy who played one of the apostles who did the duet with Mary, he's like bawling during the curtain call. And I would imagine this doesn't happen like in a professional production because these people are being paid. I don't think they bawl like or, you know, have these like, oh my God, it's my last performance. Anyway, but that was my experience this afternoon.
I think it can happen, actually. I mean, not maybe to that extent, but I was playing Anastasia today that posted their closing notice for the end of March. And there's definitely a feeling of sadness backstage because it's a show that's been going for about 2 years and it's closing. And I started thinking like there's a whole song about like saying goodbye towards the end of the first act. And I'm like, that would be it gave me chills playing today. And I still have a couple of performances to go in the books. And I was thinking like that would be hard to be an actor on stage for that final performance singing this song about saying goodbye, and I could see them actually like getting fairly emotional about it. So I don't know about bawling, but I could see them feeling a little bit more than they might on just a regular Tuesday night.
Well, I may be overstating it a little. I mean, Judas, when he did his scene before he commits suicide, spoiler alert,
he really was
bawling. No, he didn't literally commit suicide today. But no, he literally was like, in the scene, he's supposed to break up, like he's singing and he's supposed to have this breakdown moment. Right. But it was like a real breakdown moment, you know, on the stage.
Yeah. Question is, Adam, with all this emotion, were you able to hit the high E?
I hit the high F sharp, I'll have you know.
Oh, man.
Okay. There at the end of Jesus Christ Superstar, which is the main song, but it's after they do the 39 lashes, then Judas breaks into Jesus Christ Superstar. Anyway, it's the big, you know, whatever. At the end of that one, there's a high F sharp on the trumpet, and I solid high F sharp.
Good for
now,
you. So.
Did you break down when you did that?
No. Okay. I didn't break down. I'm good. I'm, you know, the orchestra for the most part, we didn't bawl in any of our scenes.
You just showed up for the check.
No, I mean, you know, it's fun. But the musical director, who's also the pianist, she was crying a bit. But, you know, she's the musical director, and she's directed all of these folks.
You're heartless.
You know.
So. Now, Alex, have you ever broken down during a show?
No. Not sober.
How often do you play drunk?
Well, I did have to do this horrible thing. I was in Alaska, and I was,
I'm not familiar with that show.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? So I told a buddy I was going to play for his cabaret. And I completely forgot I was going to do it. So I went to the bar and I got loaded with my friends. And then my phone starts ringing and ringing and ringing. And I'm like, oh, I'm in Alaska. Like, it could. Who knows? Up the phone. I'm like, hello, drunk off my ass. And it's my friend being like, are you coming? Because our cabaret starts in 5 minutes. And so I had to do this performance and I didn't even know where I was. I didn't know how to turn the pages. I didn't think, I mean, my shirt could have been coming out of my zipper and I had no idea what was going on. But I got through that cabaret apparently, so.
Now, what were you drinking that evening, Alex? This could be your personal story.
I guess I'll take it. I generally, at that time in my life, I still do drink, but at that time I was like obsessed with Jack Daniels. So it was probably a Jack, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Just Jack and
ice on the rocks.
Jacking off.
No, which is still still a drink of choice, but maybe not so much as in my mid 20s.
Okay. So Alex has a very hairy chest, y'all, if you're wondering. So.
Oh yeah. True.
Oh yeah, it's true. Yeah. Well, it'll put Jack Daniels will put hair on your chest. That's for
this
sure.
This is the content that our audience has been clamoring for the past 10 days.
Well, Sam in the hinterlands is one of our listeners, and I'm sure she will be thrilled to know that you drink Jack on ice. So nice. So.
Does anyone else have a personal
pomegranate and orange soda from Italy? So.
Does anyone else have a personal story they would like to share before we get into Big Brother?
Am I the only one of our crew that watches RuPaul's Drag Race, by the way?
No, I'm a savant for Drag Race. I love it.
Gee, oh, that's right. So I made what I thought was a cute little, in our pre-show emails back and forth, I thought I made what was a cute hi joke, speaking of Alaska, and nobody got it. And poor Big Fatty had to tell me that he had no idea who Alaska Thunderfuck is. So
I got it.
Thank you, Alex.
I got it.
I I needed to feel validated by somebody tonight. So
I don't enjoy drag. So I do not watch that show either.
Let's talk about Drag Race instead of this horrible train wreck of a show, Big Brother.
I will say this. The only thing I've got to say about Drag Race is Joe Batance has called me twice in the past 3 days, and I've missed his call both times. He probably thinks that I'm avoiding him, which I'm not. So, Joe, if you're listening, you're probably not. But if you are, try again.
He would only be listening if Evan Ayers was on tonight.
Oh.
Oh. And Alex is like, oh.
Isn't Evan Ayers the
Survivor Savant?
Survivor Savant, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, are we ready?
Okay.
Let's do it.
Well, we're Faye, we're assuming you are the only one that has notes.
Wait a minute. Let's just set the stage here. The finale was 10 days ago, at least.
But, okay. I mean, that is what our listeners have come to expect.
Faye takes meticulous notes. Alex is just here to...
show off his chest.
To drink Jack and on ice.
Yeah.
And Chris is here to gloat. And I got nothing. And Adam watched the final 2-hour episode just minutes before we went on, and Faye took notes. So
sorry, the 2-hour or the 3 hours? Because we had an hour episode from whence last we met, boys.
Oh God, we don't have to go over that one unless you have notes. But I will say this: I watched it this afternoon. I watched all 3 hours this afternoon, and it was
the recap. That was the memory show.
It was a fast forward show
with Mark McGrath.
Now I'll say this though: usually in Big Brother, well, I have three comments actually. Usually in Big Brother, the rewind show, you know, those shows always remind me of the Golden Girls episodes where they're all sitting around the table eating cheesecake.
Right.
And they're like, remember when, blah, blah, blah.
Every episode.
You know? And then they go, they have a flashback scene and, you know. But in regular Big Brother, you've literally seen all of those scenes already. So it is literally a, oh my God, I've already seen this. Why are you showing it to me again? Mm-hmm. I will say most of the scenes in this recap I had not seen. So they were scenes that didn't air originally.
The only good thing about the recap show, well, I have two comments about the recap show. Number one, they always come down and there's a wonderful breakfast and all sitting there, and not a one of them has a bite of it.
Okay? That's true.
Okay. They never eat a bite of food. Okay. And number two, the only good part about this recap show is there was a lot of Ryan Lochte in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, big deal. Oh, he's such a ding dong, that Ryan Lochte. I mean, this is where he really showed his true colors of being a dumbass, boneheaded jock strap.
Now I see Alex disagreeing with that.
Yes, I've been looking for some ding dong this whole season of Big Brother. That's why I didn't enjoy this season. There was no ding dong on screen.
There was not nearly enough ding dong.
No,
that should be written on Alex's tombstone someday. Looking constantly looking for ding dong.
Yeah, right. Come on.
While drinking Jack and ice.
Right.
My other point was, I hate recap shows, and I wish they would go away. And the third one was, what's her name? The winner of last season.
Jarrett Whineker.
Yeah, Marissa. What was the point? Literally, she was there to host. So at the end of the recap, they start HOH competition. Mm-hmm. So Marissa's
the
there
musical.
To host. She's literally standing... In a
she's
balcony.
Juliet in the tower.
And she says like five words the whole time. She like introduces the thing and just stands in the balcony. And then when it's done, she just leaves. Like it was pointless. Like what was the point of even, they're like, how can we bring Marissa back? Oh, she's into Broadway, right? Okay, we'll just set up a little Broadway looking thing. And the game didn't really even have anything to do with Broadway.
Sure it did. It was a takeoff on Cats. It was called Bats.
No, that's a stretch.
But so the best part of all that was Tamar scared to jump. Oh my God. Oh, she was. That was the only good thing about the start of that competition. Anyway.
So, Faye, I'm sure you want to set up that competition anyway. So, go ahead.
No. I mean, you've all said as much as there is to be said. It was the Bats the Musical. They have to build a puzzle. They have 20 seconds to get their puzzle or to work on their puzzle pieces. They got to jump back and press a button so their puzzle pieces don't fall off the magnetic wall. Tamar freaks out. And who won that? I didn't write that down.
Well, I did want to say
it was Ricky.
Yeah, I did want to say, first of all, Dina. Now, they have just read the rules. Like, literally, just read the rules. And Marissa clearly, the only scene Marissa has is to read the rules. And she says,
hear thee, hear all the rules.
Yeah, and she says, okay, you have to hit your button. That turns on the magnets. You fly over, start putting the pieces on the magnetic board, but you've got to get back and hit the button again before the timer goes down. To zero. If it goes down to zero, the magnets turn off, your puzzle pieces fall, and you only have an additional, 10 seconds to hit the button after that, or you're automatically eliminated.
Right.
So that's Dina...
Right. Speaking of a ding-dong.
Dina literally hits her button once, flies over, and they have this, diary room where she's like, oh, I'm going to be good at this one. You know, this is right up my alley. She's putting the puzzle pieces up there and they fall. And she's like, my puzzle pieces won't stick. What's wrong with the, my puzzle pieces have fallen off. What's going on here? My puzzle pieces won't stick. She just keeps saying that over and over again. As her timer goes down, her timer goes all the way to zero. And then Marissa says, I'm sorry, Dina, you've been eliminated. And she's like, eliminated? What? I mean, she was completely... Anyway,
ding dong.
I was like, what the heck? No wonder you didn't win anything ever.
She was amazing. I enjoyed her. She was somebody that at some point during the competition, they were like, Julie Chen says, does everybody get that? And Dina just loudly goes, no. And I was like, thank you. I really appreciate that. Having somebody that's just totally out of it. She was actually entertaining TV for me at the end.
She was, well, there wasn't a whole lot there anyway, but Chris, you haven't said anything. I'm just waiting for my prize.
Wait, when have I had a chance to break in?
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it was a dumb competition, and yeah, the only fun thing was watching Mama Lohan be a ding dong, so yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Mama Lohan being the ding dong. That sounds like a 50s review song. Mama Lohan ding dong.
Who put the pop in the bop shabop shabop? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's finale night. Shirley Booth. We fast forward to the final show of the season, thank God. Woo-hoo. 2 hours of the Chen Bot.
Excuse me. Chen Bot Moonves.
Okay, Ricky wins the nominee. Ricky wins the Bats musical competition, and he nominates Dina and Candy. So,
surprise there.
Because apparently, now I didn't realize but they made it sound like that Candy has been in some alliance with Dina, and I'm not really sure that that's the case because they made a whole deal about. Candy had been working with that side of the house. Tamar was working with the other side of the house, but Tamar and Candy had a thing with each other. But until that episode, I don't remember Candy ever saying she was aligning. She had a conversation with Tom before he was knocked out. But other than that, I didn't really. But the announcer made it sound like that they were saying Candy was working with that other side of the house, which I didn't really get that.
Yeah, I agree. I think their little alliance lasted 20 minutes together because but then Candy had nobody else because Candy was the odd man out.
She wasn't in that bedroom.
Tamar was starting to get friendly with Lolo and Ricky. Right? And I think that Tamar and Candy were, I don't know, it did seem like they ended their friendship together at the very end.
I will say my favorite part of the recap, even though it was a scene that we had already seen, speaking of bedrooms, is Natalie Eva Marie and Lolo walk into the bedroom and Tamar's laying on the bed. And Natalie's like, let's choose a name for our final two. And Tamar's laying there and she's like, and then Natalie doesn't even see her. And then, like, you know, I don't know, it seems like an eternity. And Lolo's like looking at her like, girl, Tamar is right there. And then she looks over and she's like, oh, did I say two? Tamar, let's pick a name. And Tamar's like, girl, I don't have a final two. What are you talking about?
Okay, so we go to the veto competition. They have to steal item. What was this? I don't remember. My notes really have gotten sparse by the end
so
of the show.
It's one of those, like you see in, I don't know, like Diamond Thief movies or spy movies or something, where there's this really expensive artifact in a museum or something, and part of the security system is the laser beams.
The laser beams, right.
And so they have all, and I've not seen this game, and I thought it was kind of cool because they actually had real laser beams, and they said they would ask
much
them
better than those fake laser beams they sometimes
exactly
use.
Exactly. I don't know. Yeah. I wonder if they were just those little green laser pointer pins you can buy.
No, I think it was the ones that would burn your skin.
Oh, maybe. So they had these artifacts at the end of the room or whatever, and they would give a clue, and then they had to run through without tripping any of the laser beams, grab the thing that was associated with the clue, take it back and put it in a trunk of some sort, and then hit a buzzer. And they had to do that like four or five times.
And poor Mama Lohan.
Poor Mama Lohan.
Mama Lohan did it in 17 minutes and 34 seconds. The longest time. Tamar did it in 13 minutes and 22 seconds. Candy had 9 minutes and 53 seconds. And Ricky had 9 minutes and 21 seconds. But the winner was Lolo at 5 minutes and 8 seconds. 508.
That seemed like a hard thing to do in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's like one piece, puzzle piece per minute.
And what did you think of that one, Chris?
I was just confused. It seemed like they were, maybe they just didn't make the rules clear, but if they were holding one of these things they had to get and they tripped a laser, could they have just taken that and thrown it? Because it seemed like they just put it down where they were and came back to it. I wasn't sure about what they were supposed to be doing, I guess.
Well,
they didn't tell us the rules.
They didn't tell us, so I don't know if they told them, but I will say that at one point, everyone that I saw in the editing would leave their item where it was, go back and hit the button again, and then come back, get the item, and then move it the rest of the way. But I did see, I believe it was Lolo with the football. When she tripped the wire, she grabbed the football and threw it further.
That's what I was thinking. There was somebody who did something different. I couldn't remember who it was, but yeah, it was Lolo.
And I thought, I wonder if that was cheating, because I would have thought that once you've tripped the wire, you shouldn't be able to advance your item anymore. But they never told us, so I don't know. But she was only one.
Yeah, there was definitely rules that were not explained in that, because I was like, I'd be hucking that shit across the room. And it was like, it does, if the stuff, obviously, if you were carrying these big ass items and it hit the laser, well, then you had to restart. So it was kind of like, well, if you have to restart regardless, wouldn't you huck the thing as far as you could and then make your way towards it? But there was something that was left out of that equation for us.
Well, did good anybody for Lolo for taking advantage of it.
Yeah. Well,
did anybody else catch the phrase that Lolo said? Oh, I've broken into my ex's houses all the time. This should be easy for me.
No, I did not hear that.
No.
Nope.
She said that. So apparently she has issues with ex-boyfriends.
It did. I was going to bring up, this is not related to the game necessarily, but I found it annoying. I am a Christian, but I find it annoying when people are making a big deal about, you know, their beliefs or whatever. So we get a couple of shots in this episode of like Tamar reading the Bible and like Lolo reading the Bible. And then there's a whole thing about Lolo saying she's saving herself for marriage and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And one of the funniest things I think Tamar said, she goes, girl, you don't know if you like sand if you ain't never been to the beach.
It was funny. I agree.
Now, just out of curiosity, did Faye, did you save yourself for marriage?
I certainly did not.
Chris?
I saved myself for the first guy who bought me a drink.
Oh, well, there you go. Alex?
Absolutely. My flower has been untouched to this day, even with 10 years of marriage under my belt.
Oh, well, you need to get your husband drunk. Pour two of those Jack and I on ice.
Yes, yes.
And Adam, we know that.
Oh, you're come flower. On, please. No,
never mind. We never
marriage.
Right. Marriage?
Of course, it's the same for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you, Fatty? Did you save your special chair?
My flower was touched on Friday night. So we should talk about that on tomorrow's show. So
I don't want to hear about any roses.
How dare you?
All right. So Candy
some people in this room enjoy the little show.
Yes. The Grind Doctor. Or the Grin Doctor.
It is a dental hygienist finder.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Makes
more like the grime doctor.
How
okay.
dare you?
Okay,
can I make a small request before we go any further? Please. I'm going to need Faye to take off his shirt because every time he comes on our little video screen, it's so pixelated and grainy, it's giving me a seizure. So Faye, just take off your shirt for us, and just that would be great. Thank you.
Okay.
You know what that's called? That is called the moire effect.
It is. He is moiring all over my computer.
That's what happens in video when you wear a striped shirt.
That's amore.
Very nice.
Go ahead.
Okay. Candy was wearing blue lipstick on this episode.
fucking lipstick. That's still...
At least she's not wearing the black. What are you complaining
that's
about?
That's still the only note that I've taken all season long.
Oh my God.
Okay, so... And we got a speech from Lolo about her serious self-esteem issues that she has lost three Olympics. Like, this is weighing heavy on her. I'm concerned.
And yet she
about
can't
her.
Seem to lose her virginity.
Ba-doom boop.
Thank you, Faye.
She says it's for moral reasons, but after watching her for a season, I can kind of understand.
My God. I think she needs her virginity taken away and she'll be a happier person.
Oh. Okay. Are you volunteering?
No. Although she doesn't have breasts, so it wouldn't be any different from anyone else.
She did bring that up. I don't know if it was in this episode, but she was like, no, you brought it up that she didn't have
boobs. Yeah. I don't recall her talking about her own breasts.
Okay.
We got an ad about Trump from Scaramucci. All right. What is the deal with Scaramucci? Why was he on this show? Is this all bullshit where they said, oh, you weren't really a contestant? What is going on with that?
You know, I mean, who knows, really, because I haven't read any articles about it or anything like that. But I think that Omarosa was a really good ratings booster for them last season. And because of the whole political situation and all of that and everyone being interested in, you know, they always made a really big deal about, oh, she's telling Washington dirt tonight on tonight's episode or, you know, whatever. And so I think they were just like, who can we get, you know, that would bring us some more ratings and be attached to political whatever. And I think he legitimately had some other commitment at Davos or wherever that he had to do. And so they brought him on, I would assume to try to get ratings like they did with Omarosa, even though they couldn't keep him for the whole season. That's what I think.
That's probably true.
It's plausible.
And I hear that Celebrity Big Brother is not getting very good ratings, and it's...
Well especially this year.
And it's, it's on the chopping block, theoretically, because it costs more money than the regular one, goes for a shorter period of time, so they can't get as much advertising money and all that, and has lower viewership than the regular summer show. So, and they have to pay the celebrities.
Right. All right. So we have the final nominations. It's Dina and Candy are up. We have a bit of voting to do. Am I skipping over anything, anybody?
We did not use the power of veto.
Oh, well, we didn't talk about the veto. So we had a veto competition.
Oh.
Well, yeah, we did talk about that, but we didn't say Lolo won. And we did say that. Sorry.
Okay.
So Lolo wins. She decides not to use the power of veto.
We brushed over it.
Yeah. Okay. So now that everyone's clear, Lolo didn't use the power of veto.
Now, she did have a conversation in the HOH room with Ricky, and she was like, "Hey, Ricky, I think candy is bad for our game. I think we should get rid of candy." So she's like, "What if?" She said, "But I wanna kind of make sure that that happens or something." I don't remember exactly what it was, but she says, "What if I take Dina off and put Tamar up, and that'll guarantee that we get, you know, that we get candy out. We know we're not gonna vote." We know we're not going to vote Tamar out. And then Tamar comes into the HOH room about that time. And Lolo says, "I know you won't like this plan, but you would just be a pawn." And she's like, "Uh-uh."
Oh,
and then there's a, you know.
Oh, Lord.
And then there's a diary room where Tamar's like, "No, ma'am, I'm not going up on the block," you know, whatever. And so they, Ricky.
And good for her for, like, being clear about it and not pussying out and saying, "Oh, I don't want to do it. It wouldn't be a good idea." At least she's straightforward and says, "Don't you dare fucking put me on."
Yeah, and I think Ricky at that point was unsure whether he wanted Candy or Dina to go. So he wanted it left the same as well in case he had to break a tie. Anyway, so that was kind of what happened between the veto comp and the ceremony or whatever.
All right. Okay, so everybody votes Lolo and Ricky, or let's see, Lolo votes Candy out, Tamar votes Dina out, so Ricky has to pull the tie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Ricky votes out Candy.
Yep.
What was funny about that?
I mean, it was Big Daddy's like, we're talking about this thing that happened like 2 weeks ago about that, like, I mean, did not matter two shits 2 weeks ago. And you just said,
about it. It really doesn't matter two shits now.
Let's get to the slog of the end when it's like, who's Ricky going to pick? What's going on? So that's the only part. I don't even remember of this.
Yeah.
Faye's talking about stuff that I'm like, that happened? All right, I believe him. He's got notes. So.
He's got notes. Thank God he's got notes. All right.
Okay.
We get to the final HOH. Are you ready to talk about that, Faye?
No, you go ahead. Yeah, go. Yes, please, go ahead.
Well, I got to say, I thought the final HOH was cute.
I thought it was creepy, but go ahead.
It was creepy, but I thought it was cute. This was the junior Celebrity Big Brother.
Oh, I loved this. This was my favorite competition.
I thought it was fun. It was a little creepy also. I agree. But I thought it was cute.
It was. They were well casted. Those kids look like them. They did a good job finding those kids.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the ones, the kids that young that had all that facial hair, I don't know where they found them, but anyway, they did. Hello.
Okay. Yeah, that was that just turned my stomach, I gotta say.
I liked it.
I liked it too.
Adam. Okay. Well, so
I thought it was cute. I mean, I will say there have been a few competitions this season that I've not seen before in Celebrity or regular Big Brother, and I like the fact that they are adding some new competitions because I was starting to feel like, and maybe they'll bring some of these new ones into, you know, the regular season as well. I was in the last season of Big Brother, I thought most of the competitions were just bringbacks from other seasons.
Right.
And so I did like the fact that they were being a little creative and trying to, you know, give us some new games.
Yes.
I would love to see this brought back with the contestants 50 years from now and have like people in their wheelchairs and walkers and stuff
that
are like representative of the contestants. That would be funny too. The opposite.
Oh, that would be real good.
Yeah.
Fatty, you and Vera could play two of the contestants.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And Granny.
And God, can you imagine whoever played Dina would be 104? So.
Okay, we go. We've had the final HOH, which is, was there a competition? I think it was.
They had to choose which was the wrong statement or something like that.
Okay, yeah, the kid would make three statements and they had to choose the false one. And oh my God, Julie, once again, she is so particular about when people reset their things. Like people,
you know why that is.
She almost got angry.
She's like, Dina. Well,
if they turn them too quick, then she's not able to remember to be able to say, you know, Dina and Ricky, you got a point. And, right. I mean, she's got to see that as a reminder. So if they turn them back too quickly, that's why.
Well, I think that she's probably got producers in her ear, but I just find out she's like, don't reset your thing until I tell you. And then Dina like raises hers and she's like, oh, hey, you can put it down now. But next and then the next time Dina immediately. But Dina
could not reset that your out.
Thing. I just find it amusing because when you get those true false ones, the first thing Julie's going to say is like, don't reset until I tell you to reset. And then
if you go sit down, would you please reset before you go sit down?
Okay, sorry. Find that so amusing. And it came down with Tamar and Ricky were the two, they tied at the end of all the questions. And there was a similar competition where Tamar also tied with someone else, and there was a number question.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to...
I think Tamar threw this one, too.
Well, they said, so the question was, how many hours between the first breaking news, like at the beginning when there was the breaking news about, what's his name, Scaramucci or whatever, and the last breaking news, the one that they all ignored, where they were all in a different room.
She had to state it as, and when I told you about the last breaking news...
Yeah, and it was number of hours. Now, we know that was days. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were days between the first one was like day five or day six. The last one was recently. I mean, like within one of the last... And Tamar says 15. 15 was her guess. The answer was like 430-something, you know?
Right.
You know, she didn't even try.
Or else she purposely just went low, hoping that Ricky would have gone over.
Well, but yeah, I guess maybe.
But if you know it's days and there's 24 hours in a day, I mean, if you know it's been multiple days between those two,
why do you
guess even below 24 hours?
Right.
You know, I mean, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't even in the ballpark.
Well, but, it is Tamar.
Well, that's true. It is Tamar.
And she had on her lucky wig as well.
Oh.
I believe.
Well, okay. She was lucky because Ricky wins the HOH and then is immediately told to vote out to the people. And he votes out Dina and Lolo. Dina, Mama Lohan. And Lolo...
Lola was not happy.
Girls Olympic.
No.
Really? How could you tell, Fatty?
She was not.
Well, it could have been the way she stomped out.
And then said, I am mad to Julie when she was in the interview chair.
And Dina was thrilled to death to be out.
I didn't think I'd make it this long. I'm just glad to be here.
She was.
Did I win?
You know, back to Dina when the nomination ceremony, when Ricky put Dina and Candy up, and Dina's like, oh, that's good. That means we're really good players and they think they need to get us out.
Mm-hmm. Crickets.
But yeah, she was just happy to have been on the show and everything and you know, just grinning from ear to ear. And Lolo was just pissed. But, you know, I want to say... I feel like Ricky's best play would have been to keep Dina.
Yes.
No, I disagree. Yes, yes, I disagree. Yes.
I do, because Dina didn't do jack shit the whole season. I mean, if they, it depends. I mean, it depends on whether they're voting. But okay, Ricky didn't, he was kind of in the background for a lot of the beginning, but he won several competitions. He didn't really piss anyone off. Dina didn't win anything and didn't piss anyone off either, but he won more. I think if they thought about it, and they're both likable people, and I'm like,
Ricky would have won.
You know, I'm like, you know what? I like both of them, but Ricky played more, you know?
I don't disagree with you, Adam. I think you're right. But the part that you're missing that I think would topple it over is that you say that Dina didn't piss anybody off, but guess who did? Lolo. So if he would have picked Lolo, I think that would have been a guaranteed win for Ricky, because see, Lolo pissed people off.
I don't know. I think, I don't know, because she had quite a few alliance members, and also she won competitions, so I'm not sure.
I think the gentleman would have voted for Ricky over Lolo. I think Tom Green would have voted for her. I think Ado would have voted for, I mean, would have voted for Ricky. I think Joey Lawrence would have voted for Ricky. I think True. He could have gotten the guys.
Well, bottom line to me is he made the one choice he shouldn't have made.
He made the worst choice.
He made the worst of the three.
Here's the question, though, which I actually thought, I read his Entertainment Weekly final statement, but at the time, and it basically was like, I thought I could win against Tamar. So I'm like, well, he's a moron. But at the time I thought, he thought, well, I'm going to lose to all of these ladies. Like, I'm obviously not going to win this game. Who do I want to have the money? Do I want Dina Lohan, a horrible mother, to have the money? Do I want Lolo, who's been a bitch the whole game, to have the money? Or do I want Tamar, who's, you know, I mean, she's over the top, but she needs the money. She's been decent. Like, let's give it to her. And I kind of thought that he was giving her that money because he knew that he was not going to win.
I think Adam's right. He would have beaten Dina. I think Lolo was the toss-up. It could have gone either way, and Tamar was the worst decision.
Unless, like Alex said, he thought he didn't have a good chance against any of them, and he was like, "Well, I like Tamar. I want her to get them." I mean, he didn't say that on the show at all, but I mean, he's probably got more money than Tamar does. She made it sound like she's poor. Like
she did.
But anyway, so I thought if he wanted to win, that was a bad decision, because I will say this, and I said it, I believe, she's not on my team, but I think I said in one of the episodes that I thought she had a really good chance of winning if her craziness didn't get, you know, her over-the-top emotional outburst sort of stuff that went on didn't get in her way, because she was strategically, and like she caught on to things like that were going on in the house. Like, immediately they would have a diary room with her and she'd be three steps ahead of everybody else, right? You know, now, knowing what was going on.
Let me ask this question.
Just a moment, please. Can we hear from Chris what he thought about this choice by Ricky?
I mean, I kind of agree with the idea. I don't know that he would have won against any of the remaining three or four, whatever it was. But yeah, I think that picking Tamar, it was a guarantee he wasn't going to win. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Big Fatty.
Did they announce that Tamar had won the America's
favorite producer? House guest?
No, not favorite house guest. That competition.
The power of the publicist.
Yeah.
They did
they announce that to them?
After the vote.
Exactly.
Oh, it was after the vote. After the vote.
Yep.
All right.
So we kind of jumped ahead, but so he makes his decision, and then they then they bring in all the evictees. And they have like a question and answer session. So I don't know if you wrote down any notes from that, Faye. I mean, there wasn't very much memorable about the questions and answers.
No, I had completely lost interest. What I did like was Ryan Lochte not even able to read the card for his question.
Oh, my God.
Poor Ryan.
But he was still pretty.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about... This is totally unrelated to Ryan Lochte, but Joey Lawrence, they're talking about how good his skin is all the time. But his upper eyelids, I don't know what it is. Like, I can't put my finger on it, but there's something about his upper. There's something about his upper eyelids that look weird to me. I don't know if it's how he tweezes his eyebrows or like what it is. It reminds me, my grandma used to put Vaseline around her eyes.
Oh my God.
You know, at night when she would sleep and it was supposed to soften her skin or something like that. I mean, it kind of reminded me of that look, like he puts Vaseline. I don't know. I mean, did anybody else think his eyes had like a weird look?
He didn't look good.
I mean, I don't know.
He didn't look good.
I don't know what it was. I can't put my finger on it, but it's something about his upper eyes. I'm like,
y'all made fun of me when I said that he looked really good from the neck down. Y'all made fun of me for that. But I think that's part of what I was getting at. He just looks weird.
No, I agree.
I was not on that episode. I would have been right there with you, Chris.
Thank you.
Yes, he does not look.
Thank you, my dear Alex.
Yeah, no.
But they all made a big deal about, oh, Joey has such good skin and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, I don't know. He has old man eyelids for sure. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
By the way, old man eyelids was Big Fatty's stripper name during it the was. 30s.
Cue the music.
But he looks like he has a really good body, but he was never shirtless. Like, I don't think
He was shirtless for like a hot second. I did clock that. He was shirtless for a moment. It was like a montage, but it was fast. I saw it.
Well, there should have been more because I think that's the part of him that's memorable.
Yeah, I agree.
He might have won if he'd worn his shirt less. All right, so whatever. The votes.
Yeah, let's get to the winner here. I'm ready for my crown.
All right.
So everybody voted for fucking Tamar.
Thank you, Fatty.
Yeah, it was a.
Did you want to go through and do the names?
No, I have completely lost interest by this time, and that's my last note. My last note is this. Tamar says, I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to buy a house.
Yeah,
with
I can
finally. $250,000, and I'm going, where the hell can you buy a house for $250,000?
Well, actually, where I live, you can buy a house for $250,000, but...
the villa costs less than that.
Oh, I hate you all.
Won't get $250,000. So, I mean, like, you know, she probably won't have enough to buy because after taxes and whatever they were talking about, you know, it's going to be like she'll get 100 or something after. Because I think there's somebody was saying they pay like an agent fee to their agent for getting them on the show.
That was Lolo being salty about Ricky saying, well, he's not going to get that much once he pays taxes and agent fees.
Yeah, that was who made the comment. So
here's my question for you guys. So when it came down to Ricky and Tamar, was anybody truly invested in one side or the other? For me and for my husband, as long as it was not Lolo that was winning, we were fine. We were like, okay, like we're not really that invested in any of these people anymore. The people we liked were kicked off. So as long as it's not Lolo, okay. So then when it was the two of them, I was like, I don't care who wins. I could turn it off right now.
I didn't want Ricky to win, but I certainly did not want Tamar to win.
I don't know. Tamar grew on me over the season. She really did. So, I'm kind of with Alex. I mean, once it came down to those two, I don't really have a strong preference, but I kind of like Tamar at least a little bit.
Other than Ricky. She was on your team?
Well, that too.
Well, I would say of the ones that were there, I actually did think that Tamar was the best player of the five that were left because I really thought strategically she played a very good game strategically and who she aligned herself with and she won competitions that were more brain competitions. She didn't win the athletic ones, but she did win several of the, you know. And yes, she was annoying and crazy and emotional, but I thought she played one of the better games. And so of the ones that were left, it wouldn't have been my preference for her to win, but of the ones that were left, I was happy with that because I thought she was the most deserving.
So what you're saying is we didn't really want any of them to win.
Well, yeah. I all had other favorites, but.
Yeah, right. I want a Tom Green to win.
I mean, even though Dina was on my team, she didn't do shit. Right. So, and even if she'd have won, I still would have lost the contest because she didn't make any other points. Right. So, no, she didn't win anything. So, I mean.
But speaking of America's favorite,
Tom Green.
Were you surprised by that?
Not at all.
Chris?
I think he flew his way into our hearts with that cereal box eagle. No, yeah, I was not surprised by that.
Alex?
It was okay. I mean, I tried to vote for America's Favorite, but you have to like give your information for CBS All Access. It's not like a simple tweet. And I let it go. I was like, ugh, I can't be bothered. But so I guess the certain kind of
sound like me.
Right. The certain kind of person that would be able to go through that and put in their information, give their zip code, add their email, you know, have their email verified so that they could put this measly vote in for Celebrity Big Brother, I could see that the Tom Green would win for that. So,
but if you didn't have to do all that, who would you have voted for?
For Dina Lohan. I thought she was amusing. I enjoyed her.
Okay. All right. All right.
I feel like I would have liked Jonathan the best if he'd have stayed longer. But
yes.
It's unfortunate that he got kicked out so early.
Didn't he look crazy, though, in the finale? He had those big bug eyes, and he looked insane. And his reactions were so over the top. I questioned, like, what was going on with him. I'm like, are you on something tonight? Because you look real, real shaky on the TV.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that he was all gaga gugu over Ryan Lochte, too. They were like, oh, we're best friends for the rest of our lives.
Well, but, you know, he is a homosexual, and Ryan Lochte's kind of hot.
Not hot, you guys.
Ryan had to divide his time though between Jonathan and Joey Lawrence. He had two bromances going on there. So
speaking of hot, weird. They can't even find celebrities that are hotter than the normals that are on the normal season.
That's true. I mean, I'd take Tyler any day over these guys.
Not one celebrity of any of the two seasons that they've been has come close to being as hot as some of the hotter ones in the normal seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Is that surprising? Do you think that hot celebrities are lining up to go into the house?
No, I mean, they're not, obviously.
How many D-list celebrities are there that are hot?
Well, apparently not many or none. But so let's go ahead and talk about our contest. So,
let's.
So we're going to go in order of points. So coming in at 0 points for this season, we have Alex Lefebvre.
Contest is rigged.
Wait a minute. You chose.
I chose someone that was not even a contestant. In the words of Julie Chen, he was not even a contestant. Aww. So I think the contest was rigged.
Aww. Well, we didn't know that. I mean, called me up and said, hey, Adam, by the way, Anthony's not a contestant. You know, we didn't talk about that when Julie and I had
all right. Who came in fourth place?
So our next one is going to be Faye, has 20 points.
Oh, 20
who did points. I pick that got me those 20 points?
Faye, you had Kato and Natalie Eva Marie.
Ah.
Saint.
Yeah. And
we should say Alex had Tom and
No, Alex had Jonathan and
the I'm Mooch. Sorry. Jonathan, I'm yeah, sorry. Yeah. Jonathan and the Mooch.
And third place with 35 points is Moi.
Oh, poor Crooked
and
Hat.
Who did Moi have?
I had Ryan and Mama Lohan.
The fun team.
And and then...
Drum roll.
Second place with 45 points is Fatty.
Oh,
so that means that the winner of this season...
Who did I have? I had Lolo.
You had Joey Lawrence and Lolo.
Okay.
Ugh.
And then, who does that leave? Who's the winner?
The winner of this season is
look at the time we've had.
Is Chris from Tennessee.
Oh, yay! I feel like there's confetti dropping down right now.
And I will say this. Chris, you probably had the top two strongest players on your team. So Chris's team was Tom Green and Tamar Braxton.
And how many points did I end up with?
So you ended up with 125 points.
Oh, my God.
Landslide.
Good work.
Congrats. I'd like to thank the Academy. and my agents and
so,
Jesus.
Yeah, please Faye, thank Jesus first. Will you get Chris's address and send the prize to him?
Definitely. I most definitely will.
Well, I thought the prize was like a seat on the special chair or something like that.
No. Yeah. No.
Much better.
That's the prize is a bound copy of Faye's notes from this season.
That's right.
Oh, right.
Faye's
unreadable
notes. Oh. There you go.
So, final comments about this season, Faye.
You know, it was lackluster. I didn't like most of the people except for Tom Green and Cato. They were the only ones I was really pulling for. It's the same garbage rehashed again. It was a tough one for me to get through, to be honest. I didn't like it.
Thank you, angry old man. Chris.
Yeah, I'm angry too. I mean, I'm not angry that I won, but it was kind of a shit season. So I am king of the shit season.
Okay. Alex?
See, I'm going to talk like a true alcoholic here.
Okay.
Over the summer, I like to have like light white wines and beer. And Big Brother is a perfect companion for that. It's light. You don't have to use too much thought. You just drink your beer. You enjoy this like crap TV. And it's pleasant. In the wintertime, I like to drink like a big full-bodied red from Italy. I like to drink my Jack Daniels. I like something with a little bit more substance. And this TV programming did not match that for me. Like, it just felt out of place. So I think if I was watching this season over the summer and I was like kind of in the mood for something like light and dumb, I'd be okay with it. But as it was, it was a total fail for me. I was not invested.
Adam?
Well, I'm going to start with a more generic comment. But I will say Celebrity Big Brother in general, I feel like is too rushed for you to get to know anyone. So I don't, in the summer, because you have so long with the contestants, you can start kind of liking or disliking or whatever, learning their personalities, you know, something like that. And so you can get more kind of invested into the game. Everything is smushed so much. They have to do so many episodes in such a short amount of time. It feels like a chore because you're having to watch it and we're having to record two episodes in a week, you know, or whatever for this show. And then the caliber of celebrities they can get is not good enough to warrant having a celebrity edition of the show, in my opinion. And I think the caliber of the contestants was not as good this year as it was last year.
Agreed.
So I think they went down. So I enjoy Big Brother, but this feels more like a chore to watch to me than the one in the summer, because I have more breathing room and more, you know, and the fact that I feel like the regular normal contestants are more likable than the celebrities they've gotten.
Well, I agree with you, but you know, they did a regular Big Brother during the wintertime a few years ago, and it was a bomb. And it's because they all sat around in sweatshirts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it was also only on CBS All Access.
No, it wasn't, because I watched it.
Okay, well then there was so then there was another attempt at that.
What was the Big Brother Over the Top?
Over the Top.
That was also in the winter. It started like right after regular Big Brother ended, right. But it was only on CBS All Access. And that one also flopped. But of course, it was only on CBS All Access. So
right. Anyway. Well, it wasn't a great season, but the best part is that we got to all be together.
Yes.
That's why I say the personal stories are some of the best part of the show. Even if you have a crappy season of Big Brother, you get to hear something about us.
All right. So, Faye, what was your favorite personal story this?
The story about Big Fatty and your gentleman callers.
Oh, really?
Well, was there a story about that?
Did I tell story?
No, anyway. You did say you had a gentleman caller this last Friday.
Oh. I did. So And as soon as we get off this recording, I'm firing up the dental hygienist.
Oh,
finder.
Dear God. No, oh, dear.
Okay.
You must Alex? Have excellent teeth.
Well, I take care of your teethies.
Adam had a really good story about being plowed by some guy in a car. So
it's true.
No, I was not plowed by anyone.
He was pulled by a rope by him or something, weren't you?
Something like that.
Chris, did you have a favorite personal story?
I just enjoy every time we get together and getting to look at Big Fatty's bacon memorabilia behind him in the recording studio. So,
and of course, we all know that Chris's favorite part of this entire season, as the winner of Celebrity Big Brother 2, his favorite part of the season was Shirley Booth.
Oh, God bless Shirley Booth.
God bless Shirley.
Oh, and did you guys see that I added additional soundproofing on my walls? Oh,
I was looking at that.
I've noticed a music stand in there also.
Oh, yeah. I bought a music stand because I was rehearsing and I...
You know, Adam, you ought to go on some sort of competition for podcasters and talk about your great acoustics.
I know, except my audio would be much better than than that audio.
So, in closing, Faye, any last comments?
Can't wait till Survivor starts.
Well, it started last Wednesday. So,
are you going to
be joining us for Survivor, Edge of Extinction?
You betcha.
Okay. Chris, are you joining us for Survivor?
I have not yet watched the first episode. I don't know.
There's a lot of ding-dongs in it.
Yeah, it depends on what the bulge factor is.
We know Alex can't be bothered on Survivor.
Alex now assumes the role of Chris from Tennessee from New
Cannot
Jersey. From Tennessee.
Be bothered. Cannot be bothered.
Can't be bothered. So anyway, we'll find another pretty face to replace him.
Maybe you can get Evan Ayers to play the role of Alex LaFelle.
Oh, maybe that would be nice. So
he's played my role a couple times before. No kidding.
So is Evan Ayers the sub for Alex as Alex is the sub for the other pianists in his musicals? Is that how it works?
I'll take it.
What's your next musical that's coming up, Alex?
Well, I don't have anything officially yet. There are a couple of things in the fire, so hopefully by the next time I talk to you gentlemen, I'll have something to announce. But
we'll see you this summer, right?
Yeah, Big Brother's coming back, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, and Julie Chen Moonves says she'd see us in June, so
that's true.
I think she's planning on being the host.
All right. Well, I've enjoyed being with all of y'all, and I know that I've kind of screwed up the recording schedule some and all, so thank you all for being patient with all of that.
We've tolerated you as well.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
As a last-ditch effort, you could probably get the Hatterina to fill in sometime.
Oh, that would be nice. Adam, since you've been accused of talking too much, why don't you have the final word?
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining us on this season that we enjoyed so much of Celebrity Big Brother. We'll be back in the summer. You can listen to Fatty and I and a few of the others on our Survivor podcast. You can find out more information about us at our website, buttfirstpodcast.com. And you can subscribe and listen to all the back episodes and find many more shows over at pride48.com. But for now, there are no house guests left. But
no, they've all fucking gone home.
Eavesdrop on the empty house.
Let's just see if we can find some of Ryan Lochte's swim trunks or something.
From outside the Big Brother house.
I won, y'all.
I'm Adam. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.